Hi, I'm Josh McDowell. Welcome to the audio version of my book, The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. One of the more common criticisms of Hollywood and the movie industry is their apparent lack of creativity. If one film turns out to be a blockbuster, then the next thing you know, the market is flooded with prequels and sequels and knockoffs and remakes. Instead of attempting to be innovative, the wannabes simply try to duplicate the original, usually with less than stellar results. That's basically the same accusation Dan Brown makes against Christianity. According to him, as it was being invented, Christianity borrowed heavily from the more established pagan religions surrounding it. Actually, that accusation is not new. It's been around for a long time. But is it accurate? That's what Matt, Chris, and Andrea are about to find out.
May I ask a question?
That is why we're here.
Well, the historian in the story's name is Sir Lee Teabing, and he says this. Nothing in Christianity is original. The pre-Christian god Mithras, called the Son of God and the Light of the World, was born on December 25th, died, was buried in a rock tomb, and then resurrected in 3 days. By the way, December 25th is also the birthday of Osiris, Adonis, and Dionysius. The newborn Krishna was presented with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even Christianity's weekly holy day was stolen from the pagans.
The Mithras myth.
So that's a real thing, then?
Yes, if you mean the cult itself. Mithraism did exist. But was Mithras called Son of God and Light of the World? No. I know of no such claims in the Mithraic literature. And the Mithraic scholar Richard Gordon says unequivocally that there is no death, burial, and resurrection of Mithras. None. More to the point, however, is the question of who influenced whom. With Christianity exploding onto the scene of the Roman Empire, it is evident that other religions adopted certain teachings or practices from Christianity in order to stem the tide of departing adherents, or perhaps to attract Christians to their side. The key is in the dating. According to available evidences, Mithraism did not gain a foothold in the Roman Empire until after 100 AD. M.J. Vermisserian, a specialist on the cult of Mithra, certifies that no Mithraic monument can be dated earlier than the end of the 1st century AD. And even the more extensive investigations at Pompeii, buried beneath the ashes of Vesuvius in 79 AD, have not so far produced a single image of the god. Here's a good summary by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. The cult of Mithras was continually evolving, adapting itself to the needs of a particular group or culture. Understandably, this religion can be interpreted in a variety of ways, and its teachings are difficult to pin down. What seems most probable is that the specific myths about Mithras' miraculous birth and becoming a savior god were modeled after the stories of Jesus and developed after Christianity came to Rome in the first century. It seems to me that your so-called historian in that book is guilty of what we call coloring the evidence. One frequently encounters scholars who first use Christian terminology to describe pagan beliefs and practices, and then marvel at the awesome parallels they think they have discovered. Nor does similarity imply imitation. If I were born on March 28th and you were born 20 years later on the same day, it doesn't necessarily mean your parents were imitating mine.
But some of these things seem too much to be coincidence.
Oh, absolutely. And there definitely was some integration between Christian observances and pagan customs, some of which was intentional and much of which was not. However, that goes both ways, and is happening even today, such as when Christians of my era adapted rock songs and turned them into modern hymns. But it's ludicrous to paint such accommodation as some part of a sinister plot.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, it made me mad when Teabing talked about Constantine changing the Christian Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday.
Would you repeat that?
Yeah, I'll read it to you. Originally, Langdon said Christianity honored the Jewish Sabbath of Saturday, but Constantine shifted it to coincide with the pagans' veneration day of the sun.
He is about 250 years late, historically speaking.
What do you mean?
Well, long before the end of the first century, Luke recorded, "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread." In addition, Paul referred to Sunday as the Christian day of worship in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. And, still in the first century, the Revelation of John records that the first day of the week had come to be called the Lord's Day by Christians, to distinguish it from the Sabbath.
Oh, good grief! Layman could have at least bothered to read the New Testament.
Andrea is right. There are a lot of statements in the Da Vinci Code that sound authoritative until they meet up with the actual text of the New Testament. It's as if Robert Langdon, and for that matter, the novel's author Dan Brown, never bothered to check their sources before they misquoted them. The same could be said for many of the claims about secular historical documents as well. But the errors we're talking about now are trivial compared to some of the ones we'll discuss in the next few episodes. So please join us. I'm Josh McDowell. Thanks for listening.
The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers, is produced by Campus Crusade for Christ.